welcome Nelson Weber to come up and share what the Lord's given you.
Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, these songs we've sung have held amazing truths. We thank you for them. And as we open your word tonight, that you would indeed again help us appreciate and rejoice over them and learn about them. We want to pray again for those that are bereaved. May you be near them and uphold them through this time. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 to 25. And there is a verse that says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The most precious thing to the Lord Jesus is the church of God. I felt for a long time we are lacking in teaching, doctrinal teaching on the Church of God. And I've started a Bible study Saturday mornings at 7:30 here at the chapel downstairs. Anyone's welcome, ladies as well as men. We're going to continue on with that next week at 8:30. Continue on with that. And as I thought of the message tonight, Randy Huffman has COVID, so he couldn't come. So they asked me if I'd do one of these lessons. And wondering how to go about it, these lessons are built on each other. And I could just pick out a lesson and teach, but I felt maybe it would be worth more if I give an introduction and quickly, and then we'll just go as far as we get. I'm going to read just the headings. There are 16 lessons, and I'm just going to read the headings to, first of all, give you an idea how much is talked about the New Testament church and what the topics are and what the Lord Jesus and God the Father really wants us to know about it. And you know, if it's so precious to them, they didn't just leave it to flounder by itself. They gave it instructions and they told how it fits into his eternal plan. And they gave a lot of precious information to it. And we need to know this, to know how to fit into his plan and how to please him. And it also thrills our hearts to know how he feels about us and what he expects about us. First of all, there's three classes of people: Jews, Gentiles, Church of God. And then it talks about the next lesson, Israel and the church contrasted. And then the church, the meaning of the word, viewed prophetically, its composition, its position in the world and in the mind of God, its purpose, its nature, its unity, divisions removed, Jews and Gentiles one, Christ becomes the head of the church, the church, its local aspect, different uses of the word church, and similarly, the local church and universal church. This, what constitutes a local church? The church, its organization, its simplicity, points of contrast, clergy and laity. The church, its ordinances, the church's condition of fellowship in local assembly. The church, its worship. The church, its gifts and ministry. The church, its discipline and government. The church, its giving. The woman's place in the church. And I think I need to add one more chapter, the man's place in the church too. So with that, we're going to look first of all here. I'm going to speak here, point to this chart here. I don't know how many of you have seen this chart, likely most of you. Here is a picture of the whole Bible. All the ages and periods that the Bible talks about, from eternity past to eternity to come. We have creation, and then the Garden of Eden and the fall. Then from Adam to Noah and the flood. We heard about that this morning. And then from the flood to Abraham, in between there is the Tower of Babel. From Abraham to Christ. And then we have this period here, the church period, which is what I'm talking about. And then it's talked about a great time of trouble coming, especially on the Jewish nation and the whole world, which is going to be followed by a 1,000-year reign where Christ is going to be on the throne. And then the earth and heavens are going to be burned up by fire, according to 2 Peter. And we have the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, and the great white throne judgment before that, and the great divide between those who are lost and who are saved. This period here was not seen all the way from here to hear. It was only revealed through the Apostle Paul and the prophets. And as we talk about that period, another thing I want to mention, all of these periods, God made them so they prepare for this period. And the Jewish nation is set aside at this time. And anyone who comes to the Lord belongs to the church of God. This is kind of dark here. Can these lights be put on? Yeah, okay. So that's what we're looking at. That period in the time of the Bible. First of all, it is of utmost importance we realize in this church age there are three classes of people. I'm going to pick out a few things here and quickly go over as a review just to clue in those that haven't been with us. And then I will carry on so the folk that have been with us will get something new too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32, I want to read this verse. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32, giving none offense to the Jews nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. This chapter, that is a very important verse. This chapter is all about giving offenses. And he starts off in this chapter how the children of Israel offended over and over. And he tells us that this is an example to us that we don't make the same mistakes. And then he talks about how the Satan and God have no fellowship together at all. They don't belong together, and it's impossible to get along together. And he talks about how they are to conduct themselves in an idol society where idols are worshipped. And he ends this chapter with giving no offense to the Jews, to the Gentiles, to the Church of God. My friends, that's an amazing request. The Jews think different than the Gentiles. The Gentiles that don't know the Lord think totally different than the Jews or the Church of God in their societies. But we, as the church, are to give no offense. So there's three groups of people. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, I think it is. It tells us that we are to rightly divide the word of truth. I want to tell you something. How important is that? We need to divide to the Jews what's said to the Jews. We need to give to the Gentiles what's said to the Gentiles. We need to give to the Church of God what's said to the Church of God. Who are the Jews? They were the children of Israel. They were the children of Abraham. And God gave a lot of promises to them. And through them, Christ came. And we read about them in different verses. There's a number of verses here we could look up. We won't. But I want to mention to you in this 1 Corinthians chapter 10, do you know what? All three of them are mentioned. And we need to rightly divide. In Romans chapter 9, verse 4 to 5, again all three of them are mentioned. In Romans chapter 3, verse 1 to 2, again all three of them are mentioned in that chapter, Romans 3. John chapter 4, verse 22, they're all mentioned again. In Ephesians chapter 2, all three are mentioned again. In Ephesians chapter 4, it mentions the Gentiles that are in the church and the Gentiles that aren't. In Mark chapter 7, verse 27, it only mentions the Jews and the Gentiles because the Church of God hadn't existed at that time. The Jews were Abraham's descendants. The Gentiles are anyone else who doesn't know the Lord. And the Church of God are those that have realized they need a Savior. They are the ones that are living in this age. And it started at Pentecost. I don't think we'll get that far. I'll just mention that. And they're living in this age. They are people who realize they're not fit for God. They're lost. They need a Savior. And they call on Him to save them and believe Him and His word that He will and trust Him. And He saves them and He places them in the church. Those three groups of people are there. And it is of utmost importance that we rightly divide the word of truth. If we don't, we get all kinds of strange religions, and you know that's some of the problem of today. Some of the churches have dragged stuff from the Jews to them that isn't meant to be there. And they get all kinds of different ideas and ways to beliefs and so forth. So that's the first point I want to make. There's three groups of people in this church age. This is just the New Testament. The church was not mentioned in the Old Testament. It was alluded to that at this time here, in the millennial reign, after the tribulation period, in the millennial reign, sometime God is going to richly bless the whole Gentile world through the Jewish nation, and they would come to him. But the church was not mentioned in the Old Testament. So then the next is the contrast of the church and the Jews. And again, I want to go over this very quickly for the sake of those that have been there. First of all, the Jews shall be above. The church are the poor of the world. There's references here. Maybe I should mention them. Deuteronomy 13, Jews above. James 2, 5. It's the poor of the world that are the church. They're poor. Genesis 24, 35, Jews are going to have herds of silver and gold. Matthew 8, 20, the Lord and his followers did not have where to lay their head. Genesis 12, 1 and 2, Jews are going to be a great nation. Philippians 2, 3, we are citizens of heaven, not citizens of this earth and a great nation on this earth. Deuteronomy 28, 8, he would bless them in the land. In Luke 18, 22, our treasures are in heaven, the church's treasures in heaven. Deuteronomy 28, 13, make thee the head, the Jews will be the head, and others will serve them. 1 Corinthians 4, 11 to 13 is a whole list of what Paul suffered and what we can expect when we follow Christ. In relation, in contrast to conduct, in Deuteronomy 7, 1 and 2, the Jews were not to have any mercy on anybody. They were to kill everybody. And 1 Corinthians 4, 11 to 13, how being reviled, we are to bless and to love our enemies. In relation to worship, the Jews in Leviticus 17, 8 and 9 could only come to the door of the tabernacle. In Matthew 18, 20, where two or three are gathered together, he's in the midst. Luke 1, 9 and 10, the people were without on the tabernacle. They could not enter. Hebrews 10, 19 to 20. We can have boldness to enter into the very presence of God through the Holy Spirit. And Numbers 3, 10. None but the priests could approach God. 1 Peter 2, 5. All believers are priests. We can all offer sacrifice to God. In relation to the future, Isaiah 11, 11 to 12, he's going to recover his people from the whole earth. The church in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 to 17 is looking ahead for the Lord in the sky to meet him in the air. And Isaiah 14, 1 and 2, there's going to be earthly glory for the Jews. John 14, 1 and 3, in my Father's house are many mansions. Our glory is in heaven. Jeremiah 23, 7 and 8, they'll be led. the Lord will lead them from all countries to him there in Jerusalem. And 1 John 3:2 will be like him. He'll lead us to himself and we'll be like him. Jeremiah 30:3, they shall possess the land. And in Revelations 19:7-8, it's going to be the bride of Christ. So that's kind of what we covered in our lesson. So the other thing, there's one more thing we covered here, and that is starting at the bottom. There's three groups of people: Jew, Gentile, Church of God. We need to be alert. Who is God speaking to, and what to each one? And we saw some of the contrasts that we could get mixed up if we don't. But here, the next step to build a foundation is the meaning of the word. There's a lot of misunderstanding what the word means. The word church is properly translated assembly. That's what it really means. Translated from the Greek word ekklesia, meaning a called out company. Ek, out of, kelio, to call. So the word literally means a group of people called out of somewhere. We have some scriptures here of examples of this word which might help you to understand. In Matthew 16, verse 18, I'll just refer to it. It's when the Apostle Peter says, Christ answers to the Apostle Peter when the Apostle Peter says to Jesus, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then Jesus says, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That is the first mention of the word church, referring to this present age. The Lord Jesus said he would build his church. This is so comforting. It's his church. He bought it with his own blood. And he would build it. It's not our stress and agony and labor to try and build this thing. We're used of him. He builds it. And the gates of hell, if he builds it, the gates of hell won't prevail. There will be an opening. That's the first use and the first mention to this age. Then in Acts chapter 7, verse 38. I'm trying to think what that one is. It's on my notes here, if I can get them. Okay. I'm going to have to turn to that. I can't find. Okay, here we are. Open right up there. Acts chapter 7, verse 28. Oh, 38, I'm sorry. He brought them out after that he had shewed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. Here he's referring to the children of Israel, that he brought them out of Egypt. And I don't see it here, but the word should be in there. I didn't read 38. I read 36. And number verse 38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Stephen here is making his defense just before he was stoned to death. And here it's the very same word. The children of Israel that were called out of Egypt were called a church. So that gives you an idea how the word's used. In Acts 19, we have the Apostle Paul when he's attacked in Jerusalem, when he gets there, and it's used here three times. In chapter 19, verse 32, this is when everything went... Oh, this is in Ephesus. I'm sorry. This one's in Ephesus, the riot in Ephesus. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly, that's the same word, was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And then we have it as well in verse 39. But if ye inquire anything concerning any other matter, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. Then verse 41, and when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. Now, here you can see the meaning of the word. It was a group of people called out from another group for a certain thing. That is the meaning of that word. We have some references here too. The assembly is revealed in Scripture as the body of Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 to 23. Here we have the church mentioned in existence. And I'll read these verses. 21 to 23, Ephesians chapter 1. Far above all principalities, power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And Colossians 1:18 as well. And here we have, and he is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning. Who is the beginning? That's Christ, the firstborn from the dead. So that's important. The church is not an organization. It's not a building. It's a group of people that God called out of the world, from the Jews and Gentiles. That's when the word church comes up and the Bible talks about the church, that's what you got to remember that you're looking at. And we do have meeting places, but it's just a building. The people are the church, the ones who've placed their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The church viewed prophetically. Here we have an interesting thing. Do you know God knew all about the church way before it ever happened? And we have some scriptures to prove that. Here we have the church viewed as individuals prophetically. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Here, God knew every individual that would trust him in this time period, when the Holy Spirit came down to when the church is taken up to heaven. God knew every individual before the foundation of the world. He knew who would believe in him. And I'd just like to mention something here. Some people take this to say that, see, God chooses some people and doesn't choose some people. He's not talking about a person making a choice here. What he's talking about is that the people who make a choice, God chose them through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. God knows who they are, and he says, I'm going to save Nelson Weber through Christ dying on the cross. And I'm going to take him, and I'm going to shake him up a bit. And when I'm done with a glorified body, think of it, brothers and sisters, I'm going to stand before the throne of God, holy, without blame, and before him in love. I don't know how the cross could have done that, but it did. And if you've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you as an individual will stand before God like that. What a joy, what a comfort, what thanksgiving to him. We'd never accomplish it. We need him. But then, the church is also viewed as a whole. All the believers as a whole together with him in glory. That is the most precious thing to God, the Lord Jesus and God. It is more precious than the individual. The individual is very precious. But when the whole is in heaven with him, that is what will give him the greatest joy. And we have a verse for that. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9 to 10. And it says here, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here it tells us plainly that God saw the completed church, all of it. It was chosen before the foundation of the world. And God was excited. He was going to use the church here, this period, in a very special way. He was going to show to all the principalities, that spirit worlds and spirit powers, evil powers and good powers in heavenly places, that they might know through the church, by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. God's wisdom surpasses the devil. Every principality and every power. And God in justice and righteousness is dealing with each one. And when it's done, all mouths will be shut, it tells us. And nobody will say, you forgot this, you didn't do very good here. Everybody's mouth will be shut. And everybody will realize the amazing wonder of his work through the church. That's us. That is the privilege we have of being for God. That lessened to the spirit world, to the angels. So we have the individual chosen in Christ. We have the whole church chosen in Christ, and it wasn't revealed. It says it right here and a little before that, that it was revealed to Paul, and the prophets didn't see it. And then it was spoken by Christ in Matthew 16, verse 18. We talked about that already, the verse where the Lord said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. and the church of hell, no, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What I want to mention here is, at this point, this is future. It's not a present thing. It's not present tense there. It's future. The church did not exist at this time when Jesus said that. He said it as in the future. It started up on Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to read the first four verses. Oh, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. The former treatises have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I'm in chapter 1 here. I wanted chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Here we have an amazing thing happening. Never before did the Holy Spirit come and indwell people and stay with them forever. That happened here the first time forever. It had never happened before. And with that happening, if we read the last verse in this chapter, here it's interesting. Peter gave his message. They were witnessing in different tongues to all the people over the whole world that were there. And after Peter was done, it says that about 3,000 believed, and they were baptized. And they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And then they had love for each other. And they sold their possessions, they shared, and they were in the temple worshiping and praising God. But then the last line, you know what? The church is in present tense. It is now a reality. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That is the first time that the church is talked as present tense. It wasn't seen in the Old Testament, and the Lord referred to it future. Here we have the Holy Spirit coming, and here it tells us it's here now. We're in that age. From here on, we have the apostles' doctrine, and I think we really need to be careful to not neglect it. Because this is especially given to the church. There are many other scriptures which are very helpful, and I don't discourage studying them. But you know what? In here and in Christ's teaching, the Old Testament is greatly exploded or greatly magnified. There it is much more in detail, and we have much more truth in here, a fulfilled truth, than we do in the Old Testament, but beautiful pictures that help us understand the new. So then, I'll just mention one more thing here. It's mystery revealed by Paul. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, or Ephesians chapter 3, that's where this is spoken about. And just to clarify that the church was not, the prophets didn't see it. It wasn't in their prophetic speaking. For this cause, that's verse 1 of chapter 3. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, you word, for how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery or the secret, something that hadn't been revealed, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of grace, the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me, who am the least, less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus was in the upper room with the disciples, and it finally soaked in, Jesus is going to be killed. He's going to leave them. Their hearts were wrenched, and they were terrified. This is the Messiah. He's supposed to set up the kingdom, and we have enemies all around us. Who's going to help us and fight for us? Jesus told them, I know your heart is full of sorrow. And there's a lot of things I'm going to have to tell you yet, but your hearts are so heavy, you can't take them in right now. But when I sent the Holy Spirit, he's going to reveal it to you. And that is what is meant by when it says, these things are made known to us by the Holy Spirit through the apostles and prophets. Another place here it says about the church is built on the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. This is why this is so important. What the apostles gave us in the Bible is completely for the church. And yet we have to be alert. The Jews are mentioned, and we have to be alert of that division. But that is so important that we really get familiar with this and then work to the Old Testament. Then we can see, oh, this is what God was talking about, and it works together then. I see my time is up pretty well, and I think we will leave it at that tonight. I want to thank you for coming out, and I hope that you have a real appreciation that you belong to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so much more to learn about it, and so many exciting things that are waiting for the church and how it's to function and all of those. And again, I challenge you, as you read the New Testament, be alert. What's he saying to the church? And be ready to realize That's for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again we bow before you. We do feel very unworthy of being your bride, Lord Jesus. What a special, special place you have given us in your heart. We sang that beautiful song that the Lord Jesus is a fountain of the sweet well of love. And you are all of that, Lord Jesus. You are all to us. We have nothing but you as we look into the future. But you are so much, and we thank you for that. I want to pray again for each one here tonight. Lord, if there's someone here that does not belong to the Church of God, that has never trusted Jesus as their Savior, that they might realize their need to do that and would do that tonight. And for us who have, may we enjoy what you have given us through all that you have done for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.